Radio.
And a very good Monday morning to all you fine folks. Adam Lepp here for the program that we call Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam. And I thank you very much for listening. I'm live here in the studio and want to let you know that if you want to call and talk to me about something, I would very much welcome that to occur. And cool thing about this program is you can talk about almost anything. We are fairly flexible, and you know, if it's an opinionated type of call, that's cool too, because if you don't agree with me, we can certainly discuss. And one thing about me is I like to shake hands with people whose opinions may not be the same as mine, but if you do agree with something that I brought up in the past, that's fine also. That's one great thing about radio, is that it pretty much is an open forum and allows people to communicate and provide opinions and grow from what we feel about a particular issue. We do have Lucas Wall, who has been on the program with me several times. He's going to join us in about 12 minutes or so with an update about his lawsuits against the airlines and government entities related to forcing people to wear a mask or other kind of face covering. And I really salute what Lucas has done. He has been tenacious, to put it mildly, spent dozens and dozens of hours of his own time and expense on research. And there's been some developments. And, you know, when you fight big companies and you take legal action against the United States government, well, it's certainly going to be a bit hairy. But he's done just an outstanding job on that. And we're going to get an update from Lucas in about 11 minutes or so. So you don't want to miss that. We get together on this famous and outstanding, to put it mildly, radio station every Monday between approximately 10:13 a.m. and 11 Eastern Time, as well as Monday and Tuesday between approximately 2:13 and 3 Eastern Time. And we encourage you to join us. If you ever do miss a program, well, that's okay. We won't spank you or anything. You can go to our website. And, you know, the website is maintained and programmed and curated by yours truly, WWGH1071.com, and listen on demand, be it my program or Scott or anybody else who might suit your interest. Beautiful day outside, as it often does, beginning of fall. Starts out a little chilly, but then it gets quite nice. Actually, it's a perfect day outside. Temperatures will reach the 70s with mostly sunny skies and some wind, but not too bad. I guess good kite flying weather. The phone number here at the station, if you wish to converse with me, again, provide an opinion, debate something that I've talked about before, or just let us know how things are going, maybe some updates for the community, is 740-383-9944. One topic which has come up, and I did speak to Scott Spears, the interviewer to the stars, about this earlier in the morning, is Kayvon Pope, the former member of the Ohio State University varsity football team. He has been removed from the program due to saying things that I can't repeat in polite company, and then apologizing, but he said it, and he felt that it was something which was appropriate, and he's no longer with the team, but he is still getting his athletic scholarship, which I think is ridiculous. It's a state school, and I do not believe that the funds, I'm telling you right now, the funds that Ohio State gets should not be used to provide an athletic scholarship to someone who is a crybaby and has been separated from the team. I don't believe what he did was bad enough to be separated from the school as a whole, but I do believe that if he wants to continue his studies, that's fine. He can pay out of his pocket for tuition, room and board, and whatever else. I'd like to hear your opinion about that. Am I being too hard on Kayvon, or am I maybe being too easy? Or do you agree, or do you have some other ideas? What kind of a punishment would be appropriate? Again, 740-383-9944. I would be very glad to speak with you. Your calls are always welcome. Hopefully you got a chance to catch the last hour of Scott Spears, whom we are now, well, at least for today, I'm calling him the interviewer to the direct offspring of the stars. Ed Asner's daughter, Liza Asner, speaking with him for almost a full hour, discussing about her late great father, about being the daughter of a famous person, and just what Ed Asner was like, and Scott relaying some thoughts that came about through his many interactions with Ed Asner. You know, great actor. We may not agree with him politically, but I certainly admire, respect his outspokenness, his standing up for his cause. Mary Tyler Moore, a favorite program of my parents and program that I watch in reruns. You can watch it through multiple means. Mr. Grant, you know, probably the epitome of the guy whose bark was much worse than his bite. He came across kind of gruff, but inside beat the heart of a little pussycat. Plus, again, he would like to drink a lot, and sometimes the drinking would end up influencing his behavior. So, a great character. Then he went on in the more dramatic series, Lou Grant, to play the same person, but in a different setting. Again, Ed Asner with many acting credits. Again, not afraid to show his political beliefs. Just a great guy and friend of the station, and we do mourn his recent passing, and having his daughter Liza on was quite awesome. I mean, the guests that Scott gets on this radio station are amazing, even to people that have been around the broadcasting world for a long time. But if you didn't catch the interview with Liza, it'll be on our website under the Scott Spears section later today. And since I'm the person who does that, you know that it's going to be done, and it will look awesome with a capital A. Again, Lucas Wall is going to be calling us shortly to discuss his lawsuit and other efforts in removing the requirement that transportation providers require masking, and that should be a great conversation. Even if you don't agree with us, that's okay. We welcome all opinions and invite you to listen and form your own viewpoint, because that's what makes America great and also makes talk radio great. The Marion County Park District September program on September 28th, which is tomorrow. The Wonderful World of Paw Paws program at Paradise Nature Preserve at 5 p.m. Note, any program can be canceled due to weather or other circumstances, but last time I checked, the weather tomorrow was looking pretty good. So perfect temperatures and skies for the Wonderful World of Paw Paws program at Paradise Nature Preserve, 5 o'clock tomorrow after noon. The Mid-Ohio Food Bank, in partnership with Logos Christian Ministries, has a free produce market. Second Saturday of the month from 12 to 2. Logos Christian Ministries, 582 Lee Street here in Marion. Free fresh food to individuals and families in need. No appointment or paperwork needed. Just sign in at the produce market and provide name and number of people in your family. You must be income eligible. Today and tomorrow, between approximately 13 after 4 and 5, it is the lovely Linda Sims with her radio broadcast. She oftentimes has special guests. One thing she has every program is interesting and erudite opinions. Plus, normally she takes your phone calls at 740-383-9944. Linda Sims, one of the mainstays of Marion Broadcasting. We're proud and very pleased to have her as part of our staff of wonderful radio people. So be sure to listen about 4:13 to 5 today, as well as tomorrow. Another longtime friend of our station, Dr. Ronald L. Feynman, whom I call a presidentologist, a person who knows a lot about the U.S. presidents and government and related stuff. He will be on with our host, Glenn Coble, between approximately 12:13 p.m. and 1 this and every Wednesday afternoon. So you don't want to miss all these fine programs here at The Talking Place. One cool thing that Scott Spears has been trying to do is get the legendary talk show host, Geraldo Rivera, to come to this location here in Marion and be on the air with him and maybe me and Glenn and whomever else. Scott would actually prefer that Geraldo come in person, which I think would be wonderful. That would be quite a spectacle, to say the least. rather than actually be on the phone like many of our celebrity guests are. So we've been on a mission to get that accomplished, and we encourage you to call WTAM, the radio station that he's with in the great city of Cleveland, to attempt to get Geraldo Rivera on the station, and that will certainly be a radio spectacle for the ages. I'm sure Scott will have more tidbits on that quest during his program tomorrow. Scott is on every Monday through Friday, about 13 minutes after 8 in the a.m. until 10 here at The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. With respect to my program, Mid-Morning Coffee Break, and the Adam the Computer Guy Radio Extravaganza, if you would like to be a supporter of these programs, that would be fantastic. You will receive mentioning of your business or organization during my programs multiple times. You will receive promotional announcements as well as mention on our website and social media. But most importantly, you will be getting our sincere thanks. Rates are surprisingly reasonable, and I'd love to have you aboard as a supporter of this program. You can email me on our private email server. See, we're kind of like Hillary and Melania in that we have a private email server, adam@wwgh1071.com. One thing I like about our friend Lucas Wall is that he is extremely punctual. When this gentleman says he's going to call at 10:30 a.m., goodness sakes, he calls it exactly 10:30 a.m., and that's 9:30 Central. Let's see if the intern has properly patched A into B, and if I have properly turned up the correct devices on our esteemed mixing device. Lucas, how are you on this fine Monday morning? Hello?
Call.
Lucas, how are you on this fine Monday morning? Hello?
Good morning, Adam. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. Thank you. They did a little change of the equipment, but that's okay. I don't mind a bit of a surprise. And when you're in radio, you got to think on your feet. And I think that I have accomplished that. So we have...
I got your voicemail and was wondering if you were actually there or not.
Oh, yes. I am definitely here live in person. in the great city of Marion, Ohio. You know, one thing we can kind of do, which is really cool, is I can actually take a photo of myself sitting here in front of our esteemed mixing board just to show you that I am live here on the air. I took a photo for you. Isn't that cool? You can do that stuff when you have social media, you have radio, and you have technology. It's quite cool with a capital K. So last time we had you and another gentleman involved, Cleanthus, he has a really cool name, so I just love to say it, discussing some updates in your lawsuit. Why don't you refresh our listeners' memory exactly whom you are suing and why you are going about this legal procedure?
Cleanthus and I joined you 2 weeks ago when we had filed an amended complaint in our lawsuit against Southwest Airlines and six other airlines for conspiring to interfere with the civil rights of people with medical conditions who can't wear face masks. And we have, in addition to him and I, there are 11 other plaintiffs, so we have a group of 13. And, of course, I've been on your show several times to talk about my other lawsuit, which is against the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the Transportation Security Administration, President Biden, the Department of Transportation, and two other federal agencies for putting into place the illegal and unconstitutional federal transportation mask mandate. And since I was last on your show 2 weeks ago, the federal government filed its final brief on September 17th. And so now I am sitting on pins and needles, anxiously awaiting a hearing for oral argument or a decision. It's up to the magistrate judge if he's going to hold oral argument or not. So waiting to see what the next step will be in that case.
So many developments, and again, even if people don't agree with this, we can certainly admire your tenacity and your legal knowledge, the knowledge that you had coming into this, but that's been increased from your working on said legal procedures.
Yes, and I'm becoming an expert on NAFs. Let me tell you, we now have 223 scientific studies, medical articles, and videos introduced into evidence in the airlines case. And I would direct your readers to my blog to check those out if you are on the fence about masks, or even if you have been tricked into believing that masks are effective in reducing COVID-19 transmission and do not harm our health. I would appreciate you taking some time to visit bit.ly/masksarebad, bit.ly/masksarebad, all lowercase. That will take you directly to the page on my blog where you can spend weeks of your life, as I have, reading 223 studies, articles, and watching videos about the dangers to human health of obstructing your breathing.
We're speaking with Mr. Lucas Wall, who's been on my program several times. It's a live phone-based conversation. If you have any comments or questions for Lucas or comments, you can go ahead and send them to me on Facebook, on the radio station Facebook page, or just through me if you're connected with me, Adam Lepp, or Adam the Computer Guy, Adam Lepp in Ohio. That's how you can reach me. We would very much appreciate your commentary, as we know this is a sensitive and controversial issue. Lucas, one thing we don't deny is that this is a serious illness, and sometimes we don't know exactly what course it might take. What we are getting at in terms of our point is that masks aren't the way to solve it. In fact, masks are actually detrimental, that there's been so much hype, and that has affected our ability to realize the actual nature of this issue. And with the CDC flip-flopping, it seems like every day, Lucas, they're flip-flopping on the masks, that lowers their credibility, and also the ADA violations, which are at the core of your lawsuits. And I think that they need to get their ducks in a row. Would that be an accurate assessment? I know it's a bit of an oversimplification, but you know what I'm basically getting at.
Well, the CDC has no credibility. It has flip-flopped on masks many times, as you mentioned, and it puts out these studies that are very limited and have been controverted by numerous other scientific published reports. Unfortunately, the media only reports the CDC propaganda. We do not hear much coverage of the studies, such as the 223 that my group has placed into evidence in federal court in Orlando, Florida, where the case is pending against the airlines. It would be nice if we had public health officials who actually focused on solutions to the pandemic as opposed to just putting out false information. And it's quite disappointing, and we are going to be pursuing another lawsuit next month to hold Dr. Walensky, Dr. Fauci, and dozens of other federal government officials to account for the lies that they have told to the American public, resulting in a pandemic that is lasting 18 months. And for anyone to still believe that masks are effective when we are 1.5 years into a pandemic, I would definitely urge you to visit my blog, lucas.travel, lucas.travel, where you can read about our lawsuits and find that page, bit.ly/masksarebad. And really, I encourage your listeners to do some research and reading on their own and to realize if they are wearing masks frequently, there are dozens of long-term harms of mask wearing that you need to be aware of. And it is really dangerous to cover your face, your mouth, your nose, to reduce your oxygen intake. And in our case, that's particularly true with airlines, because when you're flying, the planes are pressurized at the equivalent of 8,000 feet of altitude. Anyone who goes up into the mountains knows that the oxygen level decreases for every foot you go up in elevation. And at that altitude, people who live at sea level already have greatly reduced oxygen, and to then be forced to put something that obstructs your breathing just greatly contributes to the oxygen deprivation. And that's the reason that you see so many incidents aboard planes of people who are taking their masks off, because they need to breathe. Obviously, we can't go 3 minutes without oxygen or we will perish, and it is an absolute imperative to be able to breathe freely.
Adam Lipp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, speaking with a semi-regular guest of mine, Mr. Lucas Wall, who is currently residing in Florida, but his normal residence is in our national capital of Washington, D.C. He is taking legal action against government entities and several airlines regarding forced usage of masking for multiple reasons. It's a ADA violation, and everybody I know certainly has mask anxiety of some kind. I certainly say that I do. Now, granted, a lot of that is my knowledge that they are not effective. But again, it's not natural to have this face covering on when you're sitting in a plane, at the gym, taking a walk, going into a restaurant, what have you. And also, he has cited dozens and dozens of studies, now over 200, that indicate not only are masks ineffective, they actually are dangerous. And by missing the point, that lowers the credibility of the CDC and has a domino effect, to say the least. Now, there was an issue, Lucas, with Delta Airlines, and they're big here in Ohio. They're the biggest airline, certainly in Columbus and Cincinnati. About 90% of flights are through Delta because they have a hub there. So that certainly piqued my interest. And I guess they're sharing a list of people who are on the naughty list. Can you explain about that, and how is that intertwined with this legal action?
So the airlines began conspiring with each other last spring to require that all passengers be muzzled. This was long before Biden's federal transportation mask mandate was signed January 21st this year on his second day in office, and the CDC and TSA put that rapidly into effect without any public notice or comment on February 1st. So Delta, in addition to Southwest and most of the other major airlines, have engaged in a legal conspiracy to deprive disabled people of our civil rights, those of us who have medical conditions who can't wear masks. And the conspiracy started by requiring all passengers to wear masks, but at first they recognized that it was illegal to require people with medical conditions to obstruct their breathing. And so all you had to do, like last May and June, for instance, was just to declare at the gate that you have a medical exemption and you can't wear a mask, and they did not force you to do that. But then the conspiracy involved last summer to require all passengers wear masks with no medical exceptions. Now, Delta was one of the few carriers that did allow them, but they began putting all these illegal procedures into place for you to be able to get what they call a clearance to fly, including a consultation with their contract physicians when you check in. And that is not only an invasion of privacy, but is prohibited by Air Carrier Access Act regulations under the Department of Transportation. So now what's going on is on Thursday, some of Delta's executives wrote a memo to employees saying that Delta was going to continue the conspiracy by trying to work with its fellow air carriers to share lists of passengers who have been banned because they have taken their masks off during the flight to be able to breathe freely. And so we are going to be moving this week in federal court for a preliminary injunction to stop the airlines from engaging in that conspiracy to share their no-fly list and essentially continue the discrimination against people with disabilities who can't wear masks, because those are the vast majority of the people on the airline no-fly list from what we comprehend. So that is the latest breaking news going on. I was on TV in my home of Washington, D.C. last night talking about this issue, and we expect, like I said, by the end of this week to get this preliminary injunction motion filed. We're not only going to ask for the conspiracy to be stopped, but we're going to ask that all airline mask mandates be enjoined as the litigation proceeds. As many of your listeners might not know, Adam, there's a law called the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act. It's the law that authorizes the Food and Drug Administration and pretty much everything they do. Face masks, except for N95 certified respiratory masks that are used by very few people because they're not quite as available and are more expensive. In any case, there's light blue surgical masks and masks that people make at home and all this. They are actually either illegal under the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, or the FDA has approved some of them only under what's called emergency use authorization. And long story short, there's a federal law that says that no person may be forced to use any medical device, including a face mask, that is unauthorized or approved only for emergency use. A company mandating the use of these masks must get your informed written consent that you will use the medical device, and if you refuse to use it, there may be no penalty, i.e. they cannot ban you from the flight.
So it would seem like the CDC and the airlines are breaking their own rules, and obviously it's a major ADA violation. Everybody I know is in favor of the ADA, and certainly I'm a big advocate of it. The hypocrisy, it's something that we would think our government is too good for. It really is unnerving, and it's upsetting, and it's, with this administration, it's just not getting any better. I mean, do we see a means to an end?
Unfortunately not, Adam. The federal transportation mask mandate was set to expire September 13th, which incidentally was the same day that we amended our complaint in the airline lawsuit. However, a couple of weeks before the 13th, the Transportation Security Administration announced that it would be doing another extension until mid-January 2022. So the only end to this in sight is to win my lawsuit against the government and have a judge strike down this illegal and unconstitutional federal transportation mask mandate. Otherwise, I just don't see this ending. I think the TSA can keep extending this every 4 months indefinitely until a court puts a stop to this nonsense.
So you are the pioneer here, and again, your tenacity is just incredible. The amount of time you've put into this and money, fascinating out of a lack of a better term. Of course, it's biased in my end because I'm so supportive of what you're doing, but it is necessary, and we need to take action. We need to not give up our principles in order to get things accomplished, and that's all part of free speech and part of what makes the country great. The current administration, the Biden administration, how much of an ingredient are they in making this whole thing, I guess in our case, difficult, and just trying to pull, I guess, out of lack of a better term, pull the wool over our eyes? Are we seeing it that way? Is Joe Biden in any way on your side on this, or is he would he think about that this is just preposterous and that the guy needs to not only follow the rules but follow science? And we're saying the so-called science that masks are effective is junk science. In fact, it's dangerous science. And in addition, we have the ADA and other violations. Does that kind of get to the point, or I'm kind of wondering what might be going through Joe Biden's brain right now about this forced masking on airlines and other forms of public transportation?
Well, as you know, this was a major campaign promise by Biden. Initially, he said that he was going to try to have a national mask mandate to require every person muzzle themselves everywhere, but then he understood as the campaign went on that would be unconstitutional, that the president doesn't have the authority to do that. But then, as he has in other areas of the pandemic, such as the eviction moratorium, he came into office and said, well, I know that it's unconstitutional to do a federal mask mandate, but I'm going to do it for the transportation sector anyway. And the CDC has relied on a 1944 Public Health Service law that only applies to the ability of the government to fumigate infected animals and things like this. It speaks absolutely nothing to the notion of having all Americans flying and using all modes of public transportation, buses, subways, trains, etc., to cover their nose and mouth. That's just completely illegal. Congress has never passed a mask requirement for anyone in the entire country. And we are going to be suing, we meaning my group of 13, and we have seven additional plaintiffs who will be joining us as well. So as of now, we have a group of 20 who will be suing Dr. Fauci, the CDC director, Dr. Walensky, and the dozens of other government officials at the CDC, the TSA, the Transportation Department, the Health and Human Services Department, et cetera, next month, to accuse them, as well as the airlines, of conspiracy to interfere with the civil rights of disabled Americans and putting into place this illegal and unconstitutional transportation mask mandate, which grossly exceeds the legal authority that they have in their offices. We're looking into whether we can name the president as a defendant in that lawsuit. That's kind of a up-in-the-air question that's still being researched, because the president doesn't enjoy a lot of immunity for his actions in office. We very much would like to include Biden as a defendant, because he is the number one person responsible for putting all this junk science to work.
We are speaking with Mr. Lucas Wall here on Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam on the Talking Place WWGH Radio. Lucas has been on with us previously, always an erudite guest with great tenacity, and we're pleased to have him on our airwaves, which is quite cool with a capital K. Lucas, does Joe Biden even understand, out of lack of a better term, the illegality of what he's doing or trying to do, and these flip-flops from the CDC? I used to have enormous respect for the CDC, and their credibility has just gone off a cliff with me. And do you feel that way, too, as 2 years ago? Were you like me, thinking the CDC was an important organization of lots of smart people, and have they fallen off a cliff? Could you comment on those two items for us?
Yeah, with President Biden, the disgusting thing, Adam, is that he knows what he's doing is illegal and unconstitutional. He said it publicly during the fall months of the campaign last year, and he acknowledged that he had no authority to issue a federal mask mandate. And yet, what did he do on day number two in office? He signed the executive order telling CDC and TSA to put in place a federal transportation mask mandate. So it's really sickening to have a president, and I'm not a very political person, by the way. I do not agree with either party on many issues. I'm very much an independent and a centrist, but I do take issue with the abuse of power that President Biden has committed against the American public by continuing to say, like with the mask mandate and the eviction moratorium and the onerous restrictions on cruise ships resuming sailing, that he knows these policies have no legal authority, and yet he's going to do them anyway just because he thinks it's the right thing to do, and he's been brainwashed by the propaganda machine at the CDC and is not having his advisors independently do this research and understand that masks are totally ineffective in reducing COVID-19 spread. In fact, the states that had mask mandates last year had, I believe it's a 6% higher death rate per capita than the states like here in Florida, where the governors never implemented a mask mandate and allowed people their right to breathe freely and live their lives. Now, we've already touched on the CDC stuff. Dr. Walensky and many of her colleagues at CDC will be sued for monetary damages for deprivation of civil rights in the case next month that I'm very eager to write-up and get filed with my group of 19 additional plaintiffs. I'm not sure how much more I could say about the CDC, but I agree with you. It's disappointing that we have what should be our lead scientific agency in the federal government putting out studies and advice, advising us on public health matters, but they are just operating on politics, and it's very bewildering why these scientists have been led or forced to put out these fake studies that are easily contradicted, trying to claim that somehow putting a little piece of cloth over your mask instead of over your face is going to somehow reduce the transmission of a deadly virus.
So it's downright frustrating. We'd like to think the United States is the leader in science, the leader in government, making sure that we do the right things as Americans to be healthy. And the hypocrisy, it's incomprehensible. And it's very frustrating when you have to speak about a government agency, again, that you and I thought was so important. And to me, it seems so obvious. And again, it's detrimental to people's health because the masks not only have very minimal, if not zero, effectiveness in many cases because of the way that they're worn, they're dangerous, and not just from a health standpoint, but mentally. People are social animals, and we don't go about our business with half our face covered. And it's frustrating. Again, the flip-flops, we really would expect better. You know, we try to love our country, and, you know, I love my country. It's the best country in the world. But it's hard to feel that way sometimes, isn't it?
It is, and I tell you, the most upsetting thing is that since the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed in 1990, and by the way, the ADA does not apply to airlines. It is the aviation sector is one of the few that the ADA does not apply to. That's because the Air Carrier Access Act was passed in 1986, 4 years before the ADA. But we've had the ADA in effect now for 31 years, and this conspiracy among the airlines and the government officials represents the largest deprivation of the civil rights of the disabled since those laws were passed in the late 80s and 1990. And it is sickening to be a person with a medical condition who physically cannot tolerate wearing a face mask, that I and millions of others in my situation have been prohibited from using any form of public transportation anywhere in the country because of the airline policies and then the federal transportation mask mandate. And for anyone who does not have a disability that you cannot tolerate having your breathing obstructed, I would urge empathy and understanding that even though federal mandate itself says that people in my condition are supposed to receive exemptions, but the airlines are making those virtually impossible to obtain, and we have charged them with 30 counts of violating the Constitution, federal laws, federal regulations, their contracts of carriage with their passengers, and even several international treaties that govern the rights of the disabled and civil aviation.
Lucas, we have about 2 minutes left, and I want to thank you so much for joining me, taking a short break from your legal work in fighting this illegal and certainly unethical mask mandate. In terms of the ADA, because the mask requirement applies to Amtrak and buses and other forms of public transportation, let me ask you this question. The ADA doesn't apply to airlines, but they have a similar provision. Does it apply when I get on a city bus or take Amtrak? Does the ADA apply, or are they under a different set of rules for accommodating people who have a
public transportation, with the exception of airlines, are under the Americans with Disabilities Act. If you try to board a city bus and are denied because you're not wearing a mask, and you inform the driver that you have a medical exemption, and they still refuse to allow you to board, that is an absolute violation of the ADA. And it is going on hundreds of thousands of times a day all across the country, and we are doing our best to put a stop to this. I am suing the Orlando Transit Agency and the Airport Authority there as part of my lawsuit against CDC and other government agencies because they are enforcing illegal mask mandates. I could not board a bus in Orlando due to the mask mandate. And at the airport, they were willing to give me a medical exemption, but they wanted some documentation of that, which goes against the Florida Constitution's privacy clause that the government cannot make entering a public building contingent upon you disclosing your private medical information.
So the ADA applies to other forms of public transportation, and they are breaking that provision every time they do not allow someone to get the exemption. Interesting, interesting stuff, and it's an important cause, Lucas. My hat is tipped to you for all the work you're doing and will be doing. Thank you very much for being on the program. Again, folks, if you missed the interview, it's always available on the website. Have a great day.
You're listening